Hey, Lucas, welcome. Okay, you don't know this, and I haven't shared this with you.
Uh-oh.
I have actually followed you for a long time, and you were on my Dream 100 list like 2 years ago to get on my podcast. And now we live in the same city and we're
And now we're
becoming
buddies.
friends. And yeah, so this is really wild for me. This is kind of inception for me from a couple of years ago and just realizing now, like, it's incredible to be so connected to someone who sees the world in a similar way and is evolving their business in a similar way and has a vision for our industry that's similar to mine. So I'm excited to dig into today with you. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, that's
Such
really cool.
an honor.
Thank you for sharing. You've taught me a lot too, just from our couple little encounters. The way that I think you operate, I think, is probably why you have the business you have. It's just you lead with your heart, and I think that's something I've recently learned. But I think it took a long time to get there. So,
Thank you. What a
yeah.
beautiful segue into what I want to talk to you about today. Yeah, thank you so much. That's such a kind thing to say. I couldn't agree more. I think that it took me a while to realize that my heart was my gift. So thank you for seeing that in me so instantaneously. That's really, really lovely. You've been making some really beautiful shifts in your direction. So I want to really lead our conversation down that path today. There's a deep weaving trail ahead of us that I can kind of feel into and see. But for those of my listeners who are new to you and your work, you're going through a bit of an evolution, a bit of an overhaul on all fronts. But how would we like to set the stage for who Lucas is? I feel like that's a completely different conversation today than it even would have been 2 months ago for you.
I fell asleep. I like Alan Watts. I'm sure everyone knows who Alan Watts is. And I was listening to a 2 hour long thing with him last night about who am I? It was like a long talk about like who actually are we and how it's so impossible to define. And I think I've been asking that question since I've been like 5 or 6. And I don't really remember my childhood, but like just like wondering that, playing on the swings. And I remember like all the kids playing and I couldn't connect with them. And I'm like, who am I? And like, what is this person? And then the awkward teenage years, I thought I knew who I was, and I created an identity around this like blue collar tough dude who smoked cigarettes and worked on the oil rigs and drove a truck and don't mess with me and I'll beat you up. And then at 25, that no longer served me, and I had a mental breakdown and depression and close encounters with suicide, and I created a new identity. And I feel like my whole life is trying to figure out who Lucas is. So I can only share sort of, I guess, what I'm doing. But if I had to search into it, it's like I love teaching, I love helping, I love serving. I'm addicted to creating. I love building things, whether it's engines or businesses. I like risk, as in like walking a path that's sort of maybe not traditional and trying to figure it out and trying my best to stay open to reinventing myself. And I think, yes, like you said, the last few months has been like there's been a very strong spiritual presence in my life, and I could sense things and energy since I was a kid, but I always wrote it off as whatever. And I think the last year I've been getting so connected with it. I'm like, I need to bring this into my work. Don't know what that looks like, but let's just play with it. And so I think I'm in that stage. And then every time you're going through a shift, it feels like everything falls apart, which it definitely felt like it was doing, traveling, you know, Panama, Mexico, trying to figure out my life. But the one thing I've always been really good at is finding ways to create a product and match it to people. So I've always been self-sufficient, can make money, all that fun stuff. But just trying to find a better way to, I guess, serve that space than the bro marketing that has been pretty much the way that it's been forever. And I even hate saying that because that was me and I fully believe that. But now I see there's a better way and I can't ignore that. So we're off designing a better way or playing with it anyway.
You know what's interesting? You say that like bro marketing has kind of been the way. And when we talk about this, for those of you listening, we're referencing a program, Coaches You, that you ran for many years and very successfully, very, very successfully. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people have gone through your program and seen amazing results. But I will say, like, I've looked at your landing pages and your websites a bunch of times over the years. Okay. You've been in my periphery for a long time. And I think it's really funny from my perspective that you label it bro marketing, because I never once had that perception of you. I always, anytime I landed on your previous websites and landing pages, I always felt different with you. Like, I was like, oh, this guy cares. Even though you were always selling like the end result, perhaps, and maybe that's what we're equating to the bro marketing tactics, right? This is where you'll get to externally, which is great. But as we're seeing in your evolution now, we're turning much more inwards, and we're going to talk about that a lot more today, what that looks like in your business and otherwise. Previously, the way that you make people feel inside of how you're marketing to them has always felt truthfully raw, authentic, welcoming, safe, like I'm going to be taken care of with you. So please know that.
And yeah, appreciate that. Yeah. And that is true. I think every mastermind, I've been in a lot of masterminds, and it's like, I make a few connections that seem genuine and that kind of stick around for a few years, but most of it is just, I always had a hard time relating with that kind of marketing too.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I know there's a better way.
Of course.
And so we've been experimenting with that. Now that said, the things that work, they work for a reason. And so don't reinvent the wheel, but see if you can find, it's been a really interesting, I mean, I've been studying marketing forever.
Yeah.
But marketing is shifting and business is shifting and online business is shifting so fast right now, which is a good thing.
It's a much needed thing. I want to talk about that more in just a minute, but I want to start with looking at the shifts that are happening for you structurally. Like, I know you just relaunched your YouTube channel. You closed a YouTube channel with a ton of followers, which most people would think you're crazy for. And I just like went through and consumed a bunch of your new videos on there, and the vibe is totally different. You're right. It's much more, this is me as I am today, without any performative layers, without needing anything from you. I'm here to serve. And that's really the undertone that I see you taking throughout the changes that you're making. On a structural side in your business, you've shifted into a membership model, which is, in my eyes, in service of the rising consciousness of the coaching industry as a whole and what people are actually in search of and coming to recognize they really need in a space that is, to your point earlier, very forced upon us through that bro hustle culture lens. So I really see you kind of just breaking off of that on all fronts. And you said something in your welcome video on the YouTube channel about, like, I'm nervous to share this. This is feeling hard for me to share. And I want to highlight that because I really see this undercurrent of vulnerability, self-trust, sharing your deep truth as this driving force to your creation right now. And I'm just curious what your perception of that is. Like, I really think that the spirituality lens, the philosophical lens that you're pulling into your content, that you're pulling into, I'm sure, your membership, it's not by chance, and it's not just because that's what interests you. It's because that is actually what you're being called to create space around so that other people in the industry can step into that space and discover that for themselves.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I think, that I went to the Joe Dispenza thing, and that it had quite the effect that still lingers. I can smell the room and I can see the colors on the wall, and it'll bring me like right back into it. Like it's like I'm there.
That's crazy.
And during that, it was really clear, like undeniably clear, that something had to change. And it was like just a knowing, just trust it. It's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say that, I think I also take a logical approach, as in, like, I once had a mentor who's like, hey, have 12 months of cash. If you wanted to stop everything you're doing, you could pivot, you could shift, you could reinvent yourself, and your lifestyle would stay the same. So you know, I've done that. I've got pockets of investments and cash and all that. So what I'm creating doesn't necessarily have to come from a desperate, probably for the first time in my life, is like, I genuinely don't care if you buy something or not. Like, I actually don't care. And I don't think I've ever fully operated from that, because of spreadsheets and numbers and targets and goals. And fortunately, I have another business that kind of pays me everything I need. So this is like a grand experiment that I have zero. I would lie if I say I have no attachment to it. I want it to succeed very badly. Mm-hmm. But if it didn't, I could walk away with it with my head held high and be like, that was fun.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what you're feeling. But yeah, it was a really clear calling at the Joe Dispenza thing that was like, great, you've mastered what you're doing, but it's time to do something new. And the time is now. Like, you're going to leave this event and you're going to change at whatever cost that may be. And I listened to it. So yeah.
I really think though, like, I don't think you're giving yourself enough credit. From my perspective, like, this is how I choose to see my evolution. Leaders like you who are so selflessly stepping outside of what feels comfortable and familiar to create a space that is more accessible and in service of where the coaches in the industry today need us to meet them in order for them to feel held and safe and be able to access that for themselves. I don't think it's a coincidence that that dropped in for you. I think that that was a calling, because you're meant to lead a change in our industry in this way. Like, I'm curious around this concept of, yes, you're financially secure, but in the absence of that, could you have made this change?
I've thought about that. The part of me that would want to look really good wants to say yes, but I don't think I would have. I don't think I would have, because being financially secure, I check bank accounts every morning. I check statements every night. Like, it is what you focus on grows. And probably because my family came from, like, I was a refugee in Italy. Like, I was a little baby that was born in a refugee camp.
Yeah.
Parents come, like, immigrant type stuff. And I know the sacrifice my dad created for me. And I know that they don't probably have what it takes to retire.
Right.
Then I'm kind of like, okay, if it's going to happen for my family, it's me.
Yeah.
And I think there's a very primal drive in that.
Yeah.
So I know my exact position in all financial aspects, and there's no wonder why what you focus on grows.
Yes.
So I don't think I would have. I took that leap when I was 25 and quit the oil rig job.
Yeah.
And I had a mortgage in Vancouver. I lost that, like the Jeep, the two motorcycles, all of that. But I was okay doing that, because I knew I wanted to get into business. So that was worth the sacrifice. But I don't know if someone can fully, that this might be a very limiting view, but if you're worried about paying the bills next month,
yeah,
I don't think you can, unless you're like Mother Teresa and you're somehow like so connected to God that you have so much faith that you'll be okay, fine. But I think people say that, hey, I have faith. But when the bill is coming and they don't have it, or someone's belly is hungry,
yeah,
I don't think you can serve at the level that you can being financially somewhat secure, which is why I say save up 6 months, drop your lifestyle. Who cares about that stuff? Save up 6 months of cash. It's not that hard to do if you're disciplined. And then start creating from a place of like, okay, I'm financially for 6 months, I'm okay. Because your energy shifts. So yeah, I don't think I would have been doing this if I didn't have some cash flow to do it.
No, I think that's like, that honesty is so vulnerable. I think you're right. When I think about my evolution, like, I recently shifted everything into a membership model as well. You know this, everyone here knows this. But in order to do that, I know I'm supported by Landon. And had that not been the case, that would have been a very different conversation in my mind.
Right.
I asked the question because I know a lot of our listeners and a lot of your clients are coaches who have these big, beautiful, philosophical, spiritually led dreams of how they want to run their business and how they want to make their decisions. And the ways in which they want to create. And there's always this block between that path and, but I have to make money. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the work that I do, and I'm curious your opinion on this, is blending those two and learning how to move while still honoring this part mm-hmm. of you. It's not an either or conversation in my mind. It's like, how do we fuse them together in a way that allows you to operate at your yep. highest and not yep. abandon yourself in the process? Like, what's your opinion on that?
Yeah, you probably have a little more. I've done a lot of thinking on this. You've probably done more, but I see it as like I have an antenna. Mm-hmm. And I can tune that antenna into the direction I need to go. So I spend every morning, if we want to talk kind of masculine, feminine energies, I'll spend 60 minutes in that, tuning in. I was kind of sharing with you the last week, I've been so go, 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 and so many things to do that I've had a hard time tuning into that. But typically yeah. I'll spend 60 minutes in the morning tuning in, get my course, double check. Hey, am I taken care of? Is my cup full? Am I good? Yes. And then I choose to believe, I guess, that I genuinely believe that I chose to be here at this day and age in 2022 through this massive shift in 2023. I wanted all these challenges. I wanted to experience this 3D world. Yeah. And so to deny that and to just keep trying to go down some spiritual path, like that's coming in 60 years, I'm going to die and I'll go back to source and I can feel all that stuff. And I know I'm searching for where do I come from and all that, but I have like hands and fingers and a brain for a reason. And that's mm-hmm. to build something and do something. I like stress because it strengthens me. I don't mind feeling it. I don't mind feeling disappointed by something in the business. Like it's all like I want to experience this reality and not always be trying to escape it.
Of course.
So
yeah.
I want to put the work in. Like I want to mm-hmm. see what I can build.
Yeah.
And we wrote a book, like every yes, page of it was so did. Painful. And I wanted to quit every day, but I knew that the book could help people. And so let me just stick through it. And it's a great marketing tool and it's everything. So yeah, I think there's people, I get it. Cause it can become very addicting. Even in the Dispenza thing, it took me 2 or 3 days to come back into reality. I didn't want to deal yeah. with the accountant. Like, I don't care about the cops. I don't care about anything. Arrest me, put me in jail. I don't need my clothes. I'll run around naked. It's a very freeing, you know, or if you've done mushrooms or anything like that, it's like you want to live in that all the time. It's great.
Yes.
But we have this cool little sliver of a gift of this physical world. And like, let's see what I can make of this thing. And that's going to involve physical pain and emotional yeah. pain and mental pain. And that's okay.
And that's okay. You know, I think a lot of people who are just stepping into their spiritual awakening, if we want to call it that, or walking down the path of fusing entrepreneurship with spirituality in whatever context that is for them, there's this undertone of spirituality means complete surrender into what is. Spirituality means deep trust in the unfolding before me and the abandonment of intentional action. And I agree more with what you're saying. I think spirituality is actually tuning our inner compass to how we work with ourselves in the moments that discomfort arises and how we're able to hold ourselves in the moments that fear is present. And it's actually like awakening our human spirit to be able to hold a greater capacity for not just the really beautiful, joyful moments, but also the pain right. and the discomfort and the disappointment and the frustration and the overwhelm and the entire spectrum of the human experience. So what yeah. I hear you saying is really just the way you move in your business today is in search of aliveness.
Right.
It's not just let me hustle to create this external circumstance that makes me feel safe and comfortable. Let's burn that down and let's maintain the safety, but access it somewhere different. And so right. the journey I see you taking is actually just learning how to access that innate safety from within, maybe for the first time ever.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. And it's fun to be human. I mean, it's like kind of fun to, I don't know. I mean, I feel like, and I was looking at our dog, Shannon has a dog. It's yeah. like this little poodle looking thing. And I would say that it's probably pretty connected to the present moment. Most of the time, I don't know much about animal brains, but I think they're pretty much connected to the present moment. It was dreaming a weird dream this morning and barking. So like it has some form of imagination, but it's probably quite limited. And I'm like, that is a very beautiful way to live. And so I was looking at this dog that I'm like, it's food, it's served, it's trust, it loves, it's taken care of. But if I put it on in the wild, like it would be, you know, it would be food for some other animal pretty quick. Like it wouldn't know how to survive.
Yeah.
And so we think we want this kind of present. I think that's an element that we need to learn how to master. And I'm on the journey of mastering that.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm put into the forest, if I'm put out there, or if I'm just, you know, I guess tested, I want to have the strength built up to be able to access the hustle and the power. And the, if someone is negotiating with me and they're starting to push across the line, like all of these things are going to happen. And if we kind of live in that comfy little bubble, like my dog does, then, you know, it's probably not going to,
it's not going to happen
well.
For us.
Yeah. It's probably not going to end well. So it's a mixing of energies. And I think it's knowing, and again, anyone listening, I'm still on this journey, but it's a knowing or asking myself, what side of the spectrum do I need to step into right now? What tools do I have accessible to me? I want to be able to feel rage and anger, which is easy for me, but I also want to feel love. I want to master both. I want to master it all and apply the tools when needed. And sometimes even get lost in the human moment. Like there's something beautiful about just being unconscious for a little while and just being human and then snapping back and saying, what did I learn from that? What can I apply moving forward? So I try not to think about it too much because like Alan Watts, I can spend 3 hours starting to really go down the rabbit hole of
right. And then it just
crazy. Yeah. but yeah, like, I don't know. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I love that. I think what I'm hearing and what you're saying is you are adopting this fluidity with yourself.
Sure.
Like you check in with yourself every morning. Where am I at? Where are my needs at? Are they being met? Am I creating that space to connect emotionally with myself instead of just launching into the doing of the day? And
that's right.
I think that is really that's what the message is here is fluidity is the goal. It's not this or that. It's not hustle or spirituality. It's accessing the present moment and using the tools available to feel alive in that present moment, whatever that's bringing you.
Yeah. And I kind of feel like, I don't know, I don't want to step on too many toes, but I feel like the world has shifted. It was like, so I did Aikido, jujitsu. I like shooting guns. I like all of that. I would never hurt a single human being unless, you know, they were entering a home and trying to like, that's the only time I would even think about it. I don't like to see humans in pain. I don't like any of that. But worst case to worst, I'd like to at least be somewhat prepared to be able to take care of the people I love and the people around me. And I saw they taught spirituality and they were at a shooting range showing their children how to shoot. And I was reading the comments of like all of their followers attacking them being like, I can't believe like I always trusted you as a teacher and you're resorting to violence. And he's like, so if someone broke into your house, who would you call? You would call the men with guns to come and protect you. So like all of it to me is so beautiful. And I guess I'm just like, I haven't felt love like I felt at the Dispenza thing. Like I've felt love before, but to realize, whoa, how much deeper does this go and deeper in the meditations? And to every morning I wake up and I'm kind of like, ooh, how deep can I go today?
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a beautiful thing that some meditations I don't want to get out of. I'm like, I have things to do. I don't want to leave this, but you know what? It's time to face the sun and go do things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess I just kind of like, I don't know. I want to figure out how to master both. So you're not just this tough dude, but you're not just this ball of love that gets walked all over. How can you master it all? And I think that really, I think that's a life worth, that's a pursuit worth pursuing for a lifetime. Like, I think that's worth more than money, I think.
Yeah. And the idea that, you know, mastering both may not even be the outcome you're chasing, maybe just fully experiencing both and allowing both to exist within you. Like maybe there's mastery isn't even the goal, right? Yeah. I don't know, but that's interesting too. It's also cool to see like from this place now holding a different container for your students, for your clients. You know, I always talk about with my students, like you are the energetic metronome of your space. And so now having had created this new membership where you're inviting coaches in at, gosh, next to nothing compared to the high ticket space that you're leaving, and you're holding them in a completely different way than most hustle culture containers perhaps are created around. How does that feel for you? Like, how are you feeling as a as the metronome of that space? How is that shifting the way you're showing up as a leader?
Shanna balances it out. We had a call today and we both decided to be on it, and she definitely balances it out. We're a very good team, so I'm grateful for that. Mm-hmm. I want to lean into people, and she wants to, like, hey, let's step out. And I think it works because some people need either or, like, they're just conditioned one way. So we have to kind of aim left to kind of hit the middle on whatever way you're going.
Right.
But my ability to feel compassion for someone, I realized that on the call yesterday or 2 days ago, my ability in the past, if someone gave an excuse, I'll be like, don't care. Let's get it done. Like, I don't care. Mm-hmm. Like, your excuses are nothing, right? Mm-hmm. That they're not valid in this conversation. Go get a therapist type thing. Not the best way to operate for some. And some people would relate to that and be like, thank you, that's what I needed. My ability to, when I was in the dispenser thing, and I've experienced this 3 years ago when I was at a Preston Smiles thing, I did something with Preston Smiles for 8 days. And I was like this big ball of love in Vancouver. And I would look at someone and I just could see or feel their 30 years, 80 years, 60 years of pain, everything they've been through.
Yeah.
And have so much compassion for how they were showing up, understanding that they had a very different story than me.
Yeah.
And so trying to navigate, like, I want someone to get a result, like most of us coaches do. We really want you to do the work because that's the only way it's really going to happen. But having compassion for, like, I understand you're going through things, so let's navigate that. And can we do both? Can we still show up in our mess, in our imperfections, in our all of that? Can we still show up and, like, chip away at the tree a little bit, even if it's just a few scratches today and tomorrow? That's a little bit different.
Yeah.
And it's less of a aggressive. I do believe some people need it, so it's still available. I still can go there. But sometimes it's not just all push until you burn out in 2 months. And sure, you got some clients, but now you hate your business and you hate your life and you're wondering what the hell you've done. Which was the reason for a membership. So people aren't rushing a 3-month high ticket program to get to the end result because their money's on the line. It's hey, let's do this over 6 months, 12 months. What's the rest of your life is not going to care about 3 or 6 months. So yeah, there's a little bit of a different energy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think there's less burning of bridges because I know I've done that in the past, even to team members. I spent all week last week texting people that I've worked with. Just apologizing, being like, dude, I wasn't even aware. I was so focused on performance that I didn't see you as a human.
Yeah.
And, you know, and fired people just because I was upset and just like, you're out of here, gone. Bye. Yeah. That is a massive shift for me. And I've talked to many people who've been through that, and it's really cool to understand their perspective of how they navigate it. So I had to text and call a few people that I've burned bridges with over the last 2-3 years. But that's just fully vulnerable. Stepping into it. Like, courage. Whatever has to be done is being done. And there's no compromise to it. So,
yeah, that's beautiful. I think what you just expressed is it's happening in small pockets like yours and like my community, where we're focusing on actually opening up the conversation of how do we make someone feel safe with us to be who they are so that they move themselves instead of force moving them artificially.
Right.
And I think that that's where a lot of accidental trauma and re-traumatization is actually occurring in many high ticket business containers where the leader is, and I know I've done this accidentally, I know we probably all have, but we're so attached to getting an outcome for that person because our values wrapped up in it that we gaslight or we push too hard or we try and push too fast. And we forget that we're using that person as a vehicle for our own
mm-hmm.
fulfillment versus seeing them as the person that they are, the yeah. whole person that they are, and creating a safe space for that to be okay and to go at their pace. So that takes a lot of growth, Lucas, and a yeah. lot of vulnerability and a lot of willingness to like recognize, I'm not comfortable with you moving this slow, but I also realize it's not my journey.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed. And I think I had to uncouple the expectation of, I just, whether it's right or wrong, I don't know, maybe we'll pivot a little bit. I don't know. But if there's some sort of community that's, the expectations already set that like, hey, this is a 2 or 3 year journey, and it's mm-hmm. a kind of a monthly thing, then me as the facilitator of it, let's say, can sort of rest easy at night, being okay with people going slower, because mm-hmm. they're not burning massive holes in their pocket. If you're spending 3 times more than your business makes per year on a program, you better be able to pay that off and see a ROI within 3 or 6 months. And then I feel pressure, and any facilitator would feel pressure to like, okay,
yeah,
let's remove emotions from all of this. Let's get you a result, so at least you're happy. And I think that pressure on me has gone away. I'm not checking the progress metrics of our members. I'm not seeing how fast they're moving along. Whatever it takes, as long as you're moving forward. And I'm not feeling like a pressure from it. So,
you know, what's interesting, this just dropped in for me, and I want your opinion on this. I haven't thought about it in this way before, but I think that you just touched on inherently what's broken in our industry right now. Like, we've seen high ticket programs increasing in price, and coaches feeling like, well, I have to, that's the only way, I need to, right. Everyone's just throwing it on a credit card, let me do that too. And innately, of course, now there's all of this pressure built up around an external outcome being created, both for the facilitator and for the coach. Yep. When really this was just all artificially created out yeah. of a societal norm of the way that the industry was working. And we're seeing that crumble now through yeah. the creation of memberships like yours and like mine. And I've, yeah. I know a couple other beautiful leaders in the space who are doing, cool. moving in the same direction. So I see this like yeah. recalibration happening. You
yeah.
know what I mean? What do you think about that?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's still a, like, I know some people who facilitate fairly higher ticket programs yeah. or, you know, like, you know, $15,000 weekends. And there's, right. I think, something to be said when your business revenue actually makes sense. Like, any,
that's it.
Any savvy yes. business person, if you're making $0, you would
Let's
be very choosy
thing.
In what you invest in.
yeah.
And I think we normalized, oh yeah, just throw it on the credit card. And I, like, yes, for some, that's right. But realistically, there's levels to it. So we're trying to design our business to have levels in it as well. And if exactly. you're making X amount of dollars and you want to spend a weekend for $8,000 and be with us for 2 days to learn, now it makes sense, because exactly. we can actually leverage what you already know and see a massive improvement over just one or two metrics. Probably like Landon does a lot. He's like, yeah, we can tweak this ad and see massive. But if you're just yeah. starting, like this, it's probably, you're gambling. So. Yeah, I think programs will just have to work harder, like actually work, like 80% profit margin, normalize at 80% margins is probably going to crumble away. We actually have to put in the work for our clients and the business.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I guess it just depends on the clientele you serve. But if they're, most business owners won't see 7 figures, like that's just a stat. You could, yeah. if you want, but it's just, there's unwritten agreements that come with 7 figures that maybe not everyone wants. And when they get it, they realize, I don't want this.
Mm-hmm.
So for anyone who's not dropping 30, 40, 50 grand, or like the Tony tax, Tony Robbins, there's a joke with the Tony Robbins mastermind. It's like the yeah. Tony tax.
Yeah.
It's $100,000 or $50,000 program, but you're traveling 6 days of the year. So you don't actually get to work on your business. And it's like the Tony tax of lost time. Right. You learn a ton. But if you're not ready for that level, you don't have assistance and a team that does the work, yes. then you're at a hotel for 7 days a week and you're not actually working on the business. So
yeah,
I think that stuff is, people are just kind of sick and tired of that.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of nuance you're touching on that's really important. Like what I said a minute ago, you're right. It's not a one size fits all thing. It's like, I think more integrous, honest conversations
that's
need
right.
to be had. And instead of there, with the rise of coaching in the world, there is also a rise in business coaching for coaches.
That's right.
And with that, we're seeing a lot of unqualified people who are seeing dollar signs and not the person, and selling people who are not ready or should
That's
not
right.
be in their high
That's
ticket
right.
space into that container. And then that comes with
Agreed.
Gaslighting, shame, fear,
Agreed.
hopelessness on the other side. So
Agreed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Agreed.
I think,
yeah. I love this space. Like I really
yeah.
love, and we kind of shifted out of just coaches. We want to get a lot more into like just people. Yeah. Entrepreneurs, but I mean, it's still in the, if you know you have something and you have to share it with the world, like how can we monetize it? How can we build out the structures, whether it's a membership, a course, some digital product? To me, it doesn't matter. It's all the same at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love this space. I think as AI and robots like take over more mundane tasks, we're going to be much more kind of peer-to-peer transactions and helping each other, and educational systems break apart. I'm a conspiracy theorist through and through. I love that stuff, but I do think the old structures
that.
Are falling apart everywhere.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I like the educational space that's online. America's, the government's number two, I believe, revenue stream is student debt. So that tells you everything you need to know. Like the debts that they make so much revenue from it. Those systems are falling. And I would rather learn from you on your expert topic than go to school any day.
Right.
For sure, buy a course or whatever. So I think the space is growing very fast.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think people are just waking up to the high ticket stuff. Is you need a sales team. So that's 20% commissions. You have to charge $8,000 to make a high ticket business mm-hmm. work if it's you plus people.
Yeah.
And yeah. And I think value ladders in a business will just become more important. Like you've got multiple points for people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if it's a course to work on someone's like emotional intelligence so they can actually proceed to the next level of business, so be it. But if that's best for the client, then give them that. Let them proceed through that and then move on to the next levels as they need it, not pushing it on them.
So when you, okay, this was a great segue because I want your opinion on where you see the coaching industry going. In terms of like, not necessarily from our perspective where what we need to be creating, but for the coach, like
right.
things are evolving, things are shifting. We're seeing conversations happening around spirituality and the greater coaching community and,
yeah.
and philosophy and weaving somatic practices in and breath work and meditation. And like, these are all becoming common practice,
yeah.
which is beautiful. But with that comes evolution out of, I have a 6-month program
yep.
or whatever. So what do you yep. see happening?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a great question. I think people will always have, I can't say that, maybe that changes, but we like little packages and things. And so that mm-hmm. makes sense to me. Like maybe someone has a 6-month experience or 3-month experience. I think people mm-hmm. will just have to actually be good at what they say they're doing,
yeah.
which that'll wipe out 60% of people probably doing this, like go back and just get good at it or not good at it. I think someone who's fully committed doesn't have to be even good at what they do, I think. But if someone asks them a question and they don't know it, they're going to stay up all night with hunger on finding the answers and improving. Like if you have that, you're going to be fine, even
right.
if you're just starting.
Right.
If you are like, whatever, I don't care. I'll just sort of take people's money and I'm okay at the level I'm at. Even if you're really good at what you do, that's, I think, you know, that's not the way.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, if I think people are seeing beyond the, here is my system.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take this, and you do it, you will lose X amount of weight or make this amount of money, or you'll have a New York Times bestseller. More,
agreed.
Like you said, honest, truthful, transparent outlook on what things could look like, and longer term relationships, which is what I'm seeing, is like a focus on long term relationships instead of a revolving door of
mm-hmm.
let's turn the marketing engine mm-hmm. on, let's get as many people into this thing. And, you know, we'll have a few case studies that are amazing, but everyone else won't. Whereas that's kind of what we're trying to do too, is like, how can we tone down the marketing, give clients an amazing experience and have them bring in people and actually pay them paychecks to do so. So like they could just keep, they could, it's a win-win for both of us.
Yes.
And focusing on the long-term relationship. Like I want to work with someone for a year or 2 years or 3 years. Like that's when you actually start seeing real change. And I'm only interested in learning from people who I'll have a relationship with for a longer period of time. So, yes. You know, because you can actually go down the depth of what they have to teach you.
Yes.
So, and I do think there'll be a big wash. Like, I think the people who, and maybe this sounds a little aggressive, to the right person, this will sound very motivating. And to the wrong person, because you know it's true, you might be a little upset by this. But I think like 50, 60% of the stuff we see and the coaches and the people teaching stuff are just going to be sort of mm-hmm. washed away. I think it's like any vocation. Like if you go into acting and you don't take it seriously, you don't think about it all day long, you don't improve your craft on a daily, you're not taking the courses, you're not putting the work in on a daily basis because you're called to it, then you're probably not going to make it far in the acting world. You're just going to wait tables for the rest of your life and kind of do this on the side. Mm-hmm. And I do feel like every vocation or every career will demands different things from people. And I think the space we're in is probably one of the highest demanding, like what you do when the camera is off, mm-hmm. like how you actually live your life when no one's watching is highly important. Whereas if I export bananas, I can be a complete mess. I can be a jerk. I can be having affairs. I can do all of that and probably have a really successful business.
Right.
But yeah. If we're stepping up into the same vocation that a preacher, I guess, would pretty much, or like a priest or someone who holds a community and has authority in a community. If we think we can be a mess on the back end and not do the work, which is really hard work. Mm-hmm. It's the work that most people will never do. And you think you can have a business where you lead people. It's probably going to be a short-term little fling with a business.
Yeah, I completely it's a lot of work. Agree. Yeah, it is a lot of work. It also, we were just chatting in my community today. I was like, is anybody else tired of working on themselves this week? Like everyone's just in that season this week. Everyone's right. feeling it. And we had a little giggle about it, but it's true. It's a lot of work. And I think the two pieces that you brought up around long-lasting, real, intimate relationships as that one piece, and this completely separate piece of doing our own work, healing ourselves, understanding who we are, getting to the truth of who we are so we can speak and lead and create from that place, are actually very intimately linked. Because in order to have deep, intimate relationships with anyone, we have to first be able to access that in ourselves.
Yeah.
Right. So they aren't separate at all. They go hand in hand. And so I'm not surprised that your community, to bring it full circle, you are now stepping into a space where you're having more vulnerable conversations and you're recognizing where you're getting activated and you're holding space for that. And you're doing your own work on the back end, because in order to create a space where someone stays for 3 years, you have to be that space for yourself first. So you can be that space for them. Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess you can't lead people where you haven't gone. And I feel like every teacher I've had who really had an impact on me was relentless in their pursuit of, I use the pursuit of mastery because I really relate with that, like just pursuing the next level and being relentless in like the next level of your evolution and your study, and being extremely vulnerable for when they failed, not being the Instagram influencer who has all the fancy photos, because we just know that's not true now. Right. Like no one has that life. Nobody.
Right.
And we're seeing a lot of, even in, I don't really study Hollywood much, but every once in a while I'll see like something come up that's popular on social media. And it's like a higher profile people opening up about their struggles. And it's like, that never really happened before.
No.
Their publicists probably wouldn't allow that. Yeah. And now they're just opening up about issues they're having at home or issues with their mental health. And it's like the picture of what the Hollywood perfect life is breaking down. And I think we're just, I don't know. Social media is scary. Like that AI stuff, like all that stuff, it really scares me, excites me, but scares me. But yeah, human beings, like, we know what's true. Like, we know what's true.
We feel it. Yeah. Energetically.
Can't be manufactured.
Exactly. I think AI is pretty cool. Lennon's been fucking around with it a lot, as you might imagine.
Cool. Yeah, he knows a lot about that.
But so have I. And it's cool because you can use it. It was interesting. I took a bunch of my own copy and plugged it in there and then asked it to create like shorter pieces from what I had already written. And so it sounded like me, not to go on a tangent, but it still felt like, oh, this is still me.
That's cool.
Versus it being completely just manufactured out of nothing. So that was interesting. But I agree. I think that the undertone to so much of this is having the courage to be seen vulnerably in whatever season you're in,
right?
And
that's good.
Sharing from this place of deep truth around, like, this is where I'm at and this is why I feel safe to make these shifts, and yes, I'm secure financially and that's why I'm creating this right now, and I realize not everybody's in that position and that's okay, but guiding people from this place of I am internally safe versus I'm accessing my safety through you. So now you have to move so that I don't lose that safety. I think that's a huge shift that you're creating that is so needed in this space on every level.
Right.
But to model that for your students is beautiful.
Right.
That's where that ripple is going to continue now into their client work. Right.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I think I'm talking to a lot of people who are sort of waking up to that.
Yeah.
And then also just being fully aware of, like, so it takes work for me to access anything that would be beyond content. Like, I've really trained myself to just be content. Something bad happens, I'm content. Like, it's a protective mechanism, right? Honestly, like, grandma died. Okay, I'm content and everything's good. Let me continue. Like, I've literally gone through breakups of 2-year relationship, 3-year, 4-year relationship. She left, everything's packed, gone, back upstairs. I'm content and right back to work like nothing happened. And so late 2 years ago, I had to start processing a lot of that and actually like catching up to this robotic Lucas, right? So I guess it serves you well if you're building something because you can be hyper consistent every day for 5 years and never miss a day of work. But at some point that breaks down. And I guess maybe what I'm trying to communicate is, I don't know, there's different seasons, there's different tools. And to me, financial, not security, because that doesn't exist, but being able to Maslow's hierarchy of needs and just being able to check off the first need should probably be the priority.
Mm-hmm.
This is just my opinion, of course. And if you're trying to build a business and you're in complete lack, then like maybe a side job is a really good idea. So at least you can pay your bills.
Yeah.
Or maybe you're going to have to experience a season of like, I don't know, of the hustle season and like see what that's all about. And it's not going to satiate you for a long period of time, but could be a tool that we can learn how to use. And I guess it's just, yeah, it's not one size fits all.
It's messy. Yeah. A conversation I have with students a lot too is this idea of, you know, sometimes, and I know I've experienced this in my life, everything that we use to feel certain, safe, secure can sometimes get ripped away from us, money being one of them.
Right.
And often in those moments, you're being asked to recognize your security without those things. Like, even if you don't have money to pay the bills this month, guess what? You're probably still going to survive it.
Right.
It's going to suck and you're going to be anxious and stressed and you might have to have some awkward conversations and make some decisions that you would rather not have, but you're going to still be on this planet.
Yeah.
You're going to get through it. Like, there were times, I've shared this story before, but like when Landon and I were in Arizona, I remember this moment. We were walking across the street and he turned to me and he's like, I don't think we can buy groceries this week. And I was like, oh, fuck. Meanwhile, we're walking back to the penthouse condo we had rented, unfurnished, nothing in there because our egos were running the show at that time in our life.
Right.
And we got through it and life went on and everything was fine, you know. Things always end up working out the way that they're meant to, but it does take an immense amount of trust and faith and work to learn how to regulate in those moments and take action and blend those two worlds. Like, it's just everything we've been saying today. It's not an either or. It's a, I am safe and I'll move.
Yeah.
I'm safe without it and I'll work for it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And we have way too much stuff anyways. My expenses.
Way too much stuff anyways.
When I was like really trying to, like you said, trying to make it or whatever, I had way more expenses. Now I'm like, how do I get rid of things?
Yeah.
I don't even care about that.
Yeah.
Like, if I could live off $3,000 a month, which is impossible, but if I could, like if I was single, I'd probably sell my stuff and get like a little bachelor suite apartment. And I don't care. Like, I'd be very content with that. How do I lower the amount of stress and pressure? And after you buy enough cars or you buy enough motorcycles or you buy enough things, you keep realizing it just leads to emptiness. Mm-hmm. There's nothing there.
Yeah.
And the only thing that will give me any true satisfaction now is like that 60 minutes in the morning of seeing how deep does this go.
Yeah.
I could do that all day. I got human responsibilities to take care of, but that has become like my gym. I'm like, how deep does this go? And then overcoming challenges too is like when you sit down at the end of the day and you know you gave it your best with whatever was life gave to you that day.
Yeah.
That's a feeling that literally I don't think money could buy that. A penthouse in Arizona gets empty pretty quick. Like, it's just all stuff. And I think human beings are waking up to that. We've been sold the lie for so long, and we're kind of being like, all right. When you're alone in COVID for yourself, if you did spend it alone, or if you're isolated, like you've got to face all that stuff. And I think human beings faced it, and now we're operating a little bit differently.
We're starting to see the shift.
Yeah,
we're starting to see the shift. Yeah. And I think it takes people like you and like me and like many people that we know to be doing that work and leading the conversation to normalize that and to make it feel accessible and tangible in a way, like malleable in a way, right? Yeah. So that people who are new to that space can chew on it and work with it and try it on and start to form their own opinions about it for themselves. But it's vulnerable to share that piece of yourself when you're still in it. So I just,
big time.
I want to just shine a light on that and say thank you, because we need more people in this space who are willing to do that.
Right. Thank you. And I think you can make a lot of money too. I just wanted, cause I had this conversation this morning with some clients like, okay, well, I got to do the inner work. I'm like, but I feel money is in such abundance. It's ridiculous. If you actually study money.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. And we as a consumer actually have the power. Like, we blame all these big companies and like they have all the money, but like, guess who gives them that money?
Yeah.
We do. And so if we just stop shopping there, they no longer have money and they no longer have it. So yes, money is a sum zero. Is that the word? It's like there's a finite amount of it, kind of. I mean, it always gets printed. So yes, if three people in America have 99% of the wealth, there's only 1% left. I get that. But there's more than enough of the pie for you, the individual. Like, there's more than enough. Like, if you make $500,000 a year, you're probably okay. And there's more than enough resources to make $500,000 a year if that's your goal.
Yeah.
And I think everyone should be striving for something like that, because the effort to get from 100 to 500 isn't that much more.
Yeah.
Most of the effort's expended just in the first few years of learning how to get to some threshold.
Yeah.
After that, it's all leverage. So like, there's more than enough. I want to normalize the conversation around money. I've actually started showing my bank accounts on some videos. I'm like, I feel so much shame and weirdness around showing, hey, I usually keep $100,000 of just cash in my account. And this is just literally just a cash account. I know it loses money. And I felt so weird. I shared that a week ago.
Yeah.
And I felt so weird about it, because I'm like, is $100,000 a lot? Or is it a little? Are people going to judge
your
me?
Mind
that it's
instantly
a million?
Judging it. Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I guess I'm just going to put it out there. And the feedback I got was very good. I'm like, oh, you've just proven that that is possible to me. Or some people are like, oh, I feel like I'm in it. Like, my number would be 50, or I'm going to strive for 20. And I just want to like normalize like money is a very good thing. If you're a good person, then it's a very good thing. And it's very nice to give. It's very nice to serve. Like it does very good things.
Yeah.
But you just have to know what your number is and what you want to spend it on. So I'm not a fashion guy. So I get no joy shopping for fashion, but if it's a motorcycle or an engine, like I get a lot of joy from that. And that money goes to a family in the shop and they get to spend it on things and the cycle and the system continues. And there's flaws in the system, but like there's plenty enough out there. If you live in a first world country, which you're listening, you probably do. Plenty. There's more than enough. Like we are in the top percentile of wealth. Like 100 years ago, what was it? Like kings. Like all this crazy stuff. Like if you have a toilet in your house, you are literally wealthier than a king would have been 100 years ago. Like we have all these luxuries around us that people 100 years ago, you'd have to be top royalty, a king to have. We have that as standard baseline living. Just the pressure society puts on us to have more is what kills us.
That's such a good point. And I love what you said around, I think like the conversation around money being normalized is beautiful. And I couldn't agree more around that. I think that's so important. This idea that if you're a good person, having more money is a really good thing. I really believe that money is energy, and that energy is going to amplify who you already are.
That's right.
So if like who you are is this deeply compassionate, loving person who wants to give and co-create and evolve, beautiful, money will allow you to do more of that. And I think the conversation around money mindset needs to shift in our industry a lot. Right. And just, there's so much change coming. So I'm just an honor to see you in that and leading that.
Yeah, it's exciting for anyone if you're an entrepreneur right now or a coach, or I guess a coach would be an entrepreneur, or just a human being. I'm like, I do believe we chose to be here. I don't have evidence of that, but I have had hints of truth to that. So I'm like, I do feel like I'm here for a purpose, and I'm here. Mm-hmm. I chose to come to this little planet at this time to experience the shift we're going through. And it does scare me because I don't have the answers. I don't think anyone does. But I will wake up with an open eyes and open mind to be like, what am I seeing? What's happening? Mm-hmm. And how can I navigate this? Not in fear, but in kind of expectation or excitement of like something is coming and I don't know what it is, but I can feel it.
Feel it, yeah.
And I'm not going to, this is a time I do think to move forward and to try things with all this AI stuff, like all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. Very exciting. While the world, a lot of people around us are probably in fear. But I do think it's exciting. And I think you're doing a good job of, Landon is too, of like experiencing and experimenting all these new things. It's very exciting.
Yeah, thank you.
And scary at the same time. Like I get scared sometimes. I get overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And I want to just sit and work and do what worked.
Yeah.
Like I do want to at times. And sometimes I'll even go down that. Someone called me out 2 days ago of like, it sounds like you're just doing more of what you were doing here. It's like, F you, you're right. You're right. Like I'm cowering.
It's good to have those people in your life.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. So, tell us a little bit about Monetize It and how people can get more information, because you're in the middle of launching it right now. So this is perfectly timed.
Yeah. I mean, we beta launched it a few days ago. We have some people in there. We've been trying to figure out a few little kinks in our membership, but it's been going well. We have a book that took me a year to write, and then I didn't finish it. I actually gave up on it, to be honest with you. And then Shanna's like, let's take this home, and she helped me finish it. Beautiful. I'm the guy who takes things to 80% very quickly, and then I lose interest in it. So she grabbed it, said, let's just finish this thing. It's only 3 months more work, turned into 6 months more work. That came out, that's just at the website, lucasrubix.com.
Beautiful.
Check that out. Yeah, and again, I almost failed English, and every paragraph I write has about 18 grammatical mistakes. So I had so much, we had a professional go through it, and he spent weeks trying to fix it.
Yeah.
Every time someone downloads it or gives me feedback, I'm like, I hope it was good. It's the weirdest feeling of putting a book out there, because you're like, this is me. So I think that's the easiest way. And I think the book will give people tremendous value as is.
Amazing. Thank you. I'll make sure that gets linked up for everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't wait to read it.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. Give me honest feedback. So we are going through, I see it as a product. So I'm taking it 3 months for people to give me feedback.
Yeah.
real feedback. And then we're going to, in March, we're going through one more revision of it. And then we're going to release it on Amazon, an actual physical copy. That way the market kind of told me what was good, what wasn't. Yeah. And I'm not trying to force something on people. I just want the market to tell me. So we already had some feedback. Said a little lengthy intro where Lucas talks for 10 minutes like I usually do. Maybe some of that'll get cut down, but
I'm sure that would be me too. I'm a little wordy. I'm long-winded. Right. But that's also a gift in some ways. So yeah, I'll definitely give you feedback. And for everybody listening, that's an open invitation, I think.
It is. Yep.
To give Lucas feedback.
We created the Zen Den, which is, I got tired of Facebook groups. I don't know how this is going to work yet, but I got tired of Facebook groups and social media. So we created what we call the Zen Den. And that's like a free community on our own platform without ads and without spam, where we kind of create trainings. I do a Monday call every Monday. That's free.
Okay.
And I think we have 630 people in there right now. I want 2,500. That'll be kind of cool to test if the actual system can contain it and get people off of social media while they're working, and they're able to be in a community off of social media, not being bombarded by garbage, and they can be in a bit of a higher vibe community. So that's the Zen Den, but it comes free with the book.
Amazing. Oh, I love that. I love that. I'll link that up too. Okay. Cool. Thank you so much, Lucas. You're so gracious with your time. I appreciate you so, so much. It's beautiful to watch your evolution. It's inspiring. And thank you for your vulnerable shares today. I know it's not always clear or easy to share when you're in the middle of an evolution, right? But it's fun to talk about, and it's fun to explore. And I know everyone in my show is definitely here for those messy conversations.
Those are my people. They get it. Yeah, I've been connecting with a lot of people who just get it. They're like, I think so much of the world is going through a shift. I don't like do the whole astrology and the whole thing there, but I get it. I'm like, almost everyone I talk to relates. They're like, yeah, I'm going through something like that too. And I was like, wow, me bringing it up allows other people to be like, yeah, that's true for me too. And I'm like, almost every person, I'm not joking, like every person I talk to is, yeah, I'm kind of contemplating my whole life and changing my career or whatever. And I was like, huh, interesting.
That's so crazy. It's cool to have those conversations, because it's like, oh, this isn't weird.
That's right. Like,
this is normal. Maybe I'm safe in this. And maybe gives people the courage to actually move on it, instead of being this like crazy idea that they dismiss, right?
I'll drop one more thing for you and your audience. Is I know you do events. We're getting a place. I was literally talking to Shanna yesterday at the lake. Super beautiful. It's like this gated community. It has a huge clubhouse, a house, and they got a pool there, and it's in the mountains. It's really nice. You can rent boats and all that. I'm like, we're going to hold something this summer. And I don't know what that looks like, but then I did think of you, because I'm like, I know you hold things for your audience. And I was like, it is a beautiful place to host it. I think there's something there. So we'll stay connected on that. Oh
yes. We'll stay connected on that. You guys will get the goods. As soon as I know, you'll know.
That's right.
Thanks, cool. Lucas. I can't wait to see it. Beautiful. Well, thank you so much. I'll make sure those links get in the show notes for you guys. And if anybody wants to connect with you directly, is your YouTube channel the best way?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's where I'll spend most of my time. And then through the YouTube channel, the Zen Den, I'm literally in there all the time.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Zen Den's probably best. Yeah.
Like DMs and all that. I'm like, I'm over it. But in the Zen Den, like, these people have been vetted and I'm happy to chat. Like, I chat with people all day. So
yeah. Okay. That's the best place. Amazing. I'll make sure that's linked up. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hello, my love. As I'm sure you can already tell, speaking is life-giving to me, and reaching more of you through the podcast world would be such a gift and an honor. So I wonder if you have another show that you love, a show you may feel my message would land powerfully in, if you would do me a favor and send them a message, if you would let them know that we should be connected, how witnessing our collaboration would impact you. It would mean the absolute world to me to be able to access you in more ways and sprinkle my magic into more podcast communities. Thank you so much. You are just the best. I'll see you back here next time. Bye for now.
Hi again. Before you go, I wanted to make sure you knew about The Secret Garden. This is my private membership where I give you unlimited access to all my best stuff, like my entire trigger mapping curriculum, all my workshops, monthly immersive live events, weekly live calls, and different layers of support, each designed for you to access at the depth that you desire. I designed it to stretch you to new edges as a coach and a leader, to unravel your conditioning and wake you up to your truth so you can stand in your gift and lead your people from that place. I've linked it up in the show notes for you to explore more when it feels good for you. Okay, I'll see you back here soon. Love ya.